see out in the world. It is a compassion, it is God's comfort that flow through us that causes people to smell life on us, alluding to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It is the comfort that God gives us that we give to others that cause us to smell, to have an odor. Paul says we can smell stinky or we can smell good. You have an odor, I have an odor, and it's not covered up by antiperspirant. It is the odor of Messiah. And so there have been 7 weeks of compassion that prepare us for the High Holy Days. And this is the 7th of those weeks. Our reading this week from the New Covenant Scriptures is in John chapter 15. Most of the readings, most of my messages from the past 7 weeks have been from the Yeshua narratives. We started out, I believe, 7 weeks ago in Matthew, where Yeshua said, "I long to comfort you." There's that word. "I long to comfort you. I long to gather you together and spread, just like God spreads his wings over his people. I long to spread my wings like a bird comforts, covers, protects its chicks. I long to cover you. I long to protect you." Yeshua has said other things in these 7 weeks, these readings that we've focused on. He's talked about how he is the Messiah identified in the Torah and the prophets. We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 how that exile and separation from the Most High, from the community, is to be a restorative function, not just simply punishment. God seeks to restore, and thus the idea of preparing us that the coming days of repentance and judgment is so that we will be restored to Messiah, restored to the God of Israel. This week is another one of those amazing statements of compassion from Yeshua. John chapter 15. The first 11 verses, Yeshua here is actually teaching not on the High Holy Days. It's actually a very long speech that Yeshua gives on Passover. It began back in chapter 13 of John. It extends to chapter 17 of John. It's a long, uninterrupted speech. And in the midst of that Passover Seder, Yeshua had this to say: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he trims so that it can bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." There's a play on words in Greek between prune or trim and the word clean. And so Yeshua is making a pun, or John is writing a pun here. Yeshua continues, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it remains on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and is dried up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove that you are my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Avinu Malkinu, our King, our Father, may your words create life. May we find a home in Messiah, just as Messiah has found his place in you, Abba. God, thank you for Yeshua's teaching. Amen. I had a delightful joy to spend time at the lake last month with my sister-in-law and nephews. And one of my nephews is a brilliant guy. I mean, I know you think that all about your kids and family too, but both of them are into their electronics. Okay, well, he's a great guy, except he's too much into his electronics. He wakes up to his little device, and he goes to bed with his little device. But he has created a number of apps. One of them he's even made available to his school. It's literally a GPS system for finding, for especially like the freshmen, finding their way around the building. I understand that it's just a crazy complicated school. And the classrooms aren't numbered sequentially or something. It sounds crazy to me. But he created a program, a cell phone app, for students to download so that they can find where they need to go in the building. It's ingenious. Well, and another thing he had created was a Connect Four game. Do you remember that? You know, Milton Bradley, the plastic vertical checker game. You know, and you drop in the checkers, and if you lined up four this way, that way, the other way, you'd win. He created an electronic version. I didn't raise the question about copyright infringement, but so I had fun playing the game together with him. It was so cool. I thought for sure he'd beat me, but I got a cool diagonal. He said he didn't see it. I think he probably just let me win. But we have a Connect Four in our lives. We have a Connect Four according to this passage in John chapter 15. Let me lay out the series of pieces or checkers or we'll see how our lives are to be connected, what we are to be connected to and with, and what that will do for us. Indeed, when we line up the things that need to connect in our lives, you will find that there is joy and success and hope, dare I say, winning as well for us. Yeshua talks about this connection by using the image of a vine keeper, a vineyard master. All you have to do is drive about 5 miles from here and you'll hit three different vineyards. They're all over the place. The cash crop of Kentucky, I guess. So we could demonstrate, Yeshua says, I am the vine, the true vine, he says, and my Father is the gardener. God has a vineyard, and he is growing Yeshua. This idea of a vineyard is actually common throughout Scripture. It's in Isaiah, it is in Psalms. The prophets, the writings, use the idea of a vineyard for examples of different things. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 5, Israel, God's people, is the vineyard. Yeshua uses this image in his parables a lot, actually, about a man who has a vineyard and so forth. Of course, the man who has a vineyard is a way of speaking about God has a vineyard, and this is how we relate to God. Here is another one of those vineyard stories. A little different, though, than Isaiah. Yeshua is what God is growing. It's interesting to see here that though there is connection between the Messiah and the Most High, Messiah and the Most High are not exactly the same thing. So be careful when you think about or try to wrap your head around the idea of the triunity of God, that you don't force them all into the same thing. That Yeshua is the same thing as the Father. So the Father is growing and cultivating the vine. Yeshua said, I'm the vine. And I have branches that come off the vine, and then there are branches. And it says God takes off any branch that is unproductive, and the productive branches he trims. Every branch is snipped on. The unproductive ones are totally snipped off. The productive branches are snipped on so that they will then sprout and grow new and increase their productivity. Any branches that do not grow fruit are cut off, and they're just like fuel for the fire. It's kind of like when Karen and I go on a picnic, I scavenge, you know, for firewood laying around under every big tree. You know, the wood that's fallen off is just good for firewood. But the branches that are snipped and trimmed are expected to produce more fruit, greater fruit. Yeshua says, I'm the vine, and then he drops a bombshell. I'm the vine and you're the branches. It's interesting, he doesn't even say that at first. He's just talking about vines producing fruit. And then finally he drops this in, I'm the vine, oh, and by the way, you're the branches I'm talking about. Yeshua kind of sets us up, leads us into the idea of who these and what these branches are. I love Yeshua's gentleness in that way. He just didn't come off immediately and say, you know, okay, you unproductive branches, you're toast. But he builds, he leads us into that. And he says, the way you produce fruit is to remain in me, abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. I kind of scratched my head and I wondered, what is this idea about abiding? It's not exactly a word I use every day. What does that mean? I mean, I kind of cognitively understand what it means, but I don't talk about abiding. I abided today. As I was exploring the word, it's literally a word that means to live, to dwell, to stay, to endure. It's something you do as a course of your everyday life. So picture it this way. Live in me, and I will live in you. It even makes it more powerful than this idea of remaining. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. It reminded me of the covenant phrase that occurs throughout Scripture, from the beginning of Scripture to literally the last chapter of Revelation, where it says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. The covenant promise, the covenant relationship is defined by that phrase. I'm yours and you're mine. I will be your God and you will be my people. I am to you and you are to me. It's that covenant promise. And here this idea of abide in me and I will abide in you reminded me of that covenant promise, that exchange, that interconnection. Again, the connect four idea. Our relationship with God is not a contract. Sometimes we really don't know what a covenant is nowadays in our world. I once attended a congregation called New Covenant Life, and the leader of the congregation told me that one time someone knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and it was somebody who wanted to buy insurance. He thought New Covenant Life sounded like an insurance company. So you think, covenant, you don't know what is a covenant? Even things that God calls covenants in our modern world, we think of as contracts. The biggest one that I've been thinking about lately is marriage. God calls it a covenant. The world defines it as a contract. After all, you have to get a license to do it. Sign on the line. That's a contract sort of redefinition of something that God thinks of as a covenant. This I to you and you to me kind of exchange. So I said all that to say that what Yeshua is talking about here in John 15 is covenant relationship. He's talking about what does covenant relationship look like? What does it include? What does it mean? What is it connected to? Well, first, we have this connection. Live in me and I will live in you. The first two things that are connected in our Connect Four is us and the Messiah. He is to us and we are to him. Abide in me and I will abide in you. In fact, we're told in verse 5 that the person who remains in me bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's interesting that discipleship, being Yeshua's follower, is defined by bearing fruit, producing fruit, back to that vineyard vine image. A disciple, by definition, produces fruit. Any disciple that does not remain, as Yeshua said, if one does not remain in me, they're trimmed off. They are not going to produce fruit. However, if you remain in Messiah and Messiah remains in you, you will produce fruit. In fact, Yeshua says you will produce much fruit. Much fruit. Yeshua has gone from talking about bearing fruit to bearing lots of fruit. Again, his image is growing and expanding. With Messiah, it's not just a little bit. It's not on and off. It's either without me, you do nothing, or with me, you do bushels full. Do you see the image? Yeshua says, I am your resource. Your branches off my vine. I'm the sap. I provide the power, the life. We spoke about that last week, speaking about how we are clothed with God's Spirit and empowered with the promise of the Father, Luke chapter 24. Here, the idea is Yeshua is the life, Yeshua is the strength, Yeshua is the resource, Yeshua is the sap flowing through the vine into our branchy lives. And with him, we can't help but produce fruit. We will produce fruit. Without that life, we can't do anything. In other words, how much fruit can you produce without Yeshua? Nothing. Yeshua is the life that we need. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. Ooh, suddenly Yeshua said something new. Again, his image is building. He's like painting a portrait here. He started out by talking about, I'm the vine, God is the gardener, and there's branches. And then he defines the branches. And then he defines what the branches do. And now he's defining more about what it means to remain in me. He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Now it's not just me remaining in you, but my words. Yeshua identifies himself as his words. Yeshua is his words. Earlier, John, in chapter 1, defines Yeshua as the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh and blood. The Word of God, the Word that God speaks, became flesh. Yeshua is the creative, active Word of God. Isaiah chapter 55 says, God says, my words will not return empty. Why? They won't return void. Why? Because when God says something, it's produced. When God speaks, things happen. Yeshua is the embodiment of God's words. It's an interesting way to think about how Yeshua is connected to the Father. Yeshua is not the same thing as the Father, but he's intimately connected to the Most High. And Yeshua is telling his productive disciples, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you, so that you will bear much fruit. This isn't the idea of praying and manipulating the Most High. I've done that message before. God can't be manipulated. And in fact, there are stories in Scripture when people tried to manipulate God. Well, you won't like the result. Usually they ended up in a hole in the ground, one way or the other. Either the hole just opened up. That happened one time. There was another time that, you know, that somebody put the person in a hole in the ground. But on this other hand, there, when it comes to producing fruit, God is giving us an incredible resource. We have the right to pray that God would produce fruit in our life. We have the right and the opportunity to pray God's will into existence. Didn't Yeshua teach us to do that? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. We have the opportunity, indeed I will say the responsibility, to produce God's will. Ask whatever it you wish when it comes to bearing fruit, and it will be done. So again, this is in spiritual terms. It's not in necessarily getting a new Honda or something, or Rolex. Just always have to throw in that caveat. In fact, this is how Yeshua says you prove that you're a disciple of Messiah. You prove that you're a disciple of Messiah as you participate in asking God to produce fruit in your life, as you understand what God's will is. Did you know at no point in Scripture that anybody ever prayed, God, if it's your will, let this happen? Nobody ever prayed that. I hear believers pray that all the time. God, if it's your will, which is actually an unbiblical position. Nobody ever prayed, God, if it's your will, let this happen. Yeshua here is pushing us to understand what God's will is and to pray it, to understand what God wishes to produce in bearing fruit, in being a productive disciple, and to pray that is established in our life. This is how we prove that we are Yeshua's disciples. In this, God is glorified. God is honored. God is delighted. God rejoices over people who yearn to bear fruit for Him. Remember, though, we've added another checker to our Connect Four. Not only must we be connected to Yeshua, but we also must be connected to His words. Remain in me and let my words remain in you. What are His words? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. This is really interesting. Yeshua said, in the same way that the Father loves me, I love you. Which is, in itself, could be a whole message. There's so many different ways that we could understand that. In other words, we know what the Father's love is because we receive it from Yeshua. Just like Yeshua has received God's love, so we receive it from Him. There's another thing, though, that's there, emphasizing how much we need Messiah. We understand, we see who the Most High is through Yeshua. Our God is revealed, God's love is revealed through the Jewish Messiah. Yeshua is vitally important, and without Yeshua, we don't know the gardener. He says, remain in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. Did you catch that? If you keep my commandments, here Yeshua is expanding the idea of His words. Earlier He said, let my words remain in you. Now He says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. You will live. Remember, I like that translation. You will live in my love if you keep my commandments, if you're connected to my words. This is something that I believe most followers of Yeshua don't understand. And that is the connection, the link between love and commandments. Between love and commandments. Note that the commandments aren't what places us on the vine. We don't earn the mercy and grace of God because of the commandments, but they are something that believers live out in their life. So what I've done is I've just debunked the whole law versus grace thing, okay? There, it's done, it's over. You know, I wish the world would never discuss it anymore. It's a totally false construct that has been established. This part of the scripture is about law and commandments, and this part's about grace. In fact, they go together, and Yeshua, here's your verse. Yeshua says, they're together. There's a link. There's a causal relationship, reciprocal relationship, better, between these things. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. And here's another comparison between Yeshua and the Father, as He says, my Father's commandments I've kept, and so I remain in His love. Yeshua had to remain in the Father's love by keeping the commandments. Yeshua is here again teaching us about how He is the teacher. We know what God's commandments are because they're Yeshua's commandments. And here He's also giving us a demonstration of what that looks like. He said, if you want to know how to walk in God's commandments, look at how I keep the Father's commandments. Yeshua is not only our teacher our mediator, he's also our the one who demonstrates for us what it means to walk with the Most High. Remember that time when Yeshua said, you know, I really want it this way? Did you know Yeshua said that? God, I really want to do it this way. And in the next phrase, he said, but not my will, but your will. Yeshua learned what it was to walk in obedience to God. If he did, we can too. We can too. So we have a number of checkers lined up now. It's Yeshua and the Father linked to us, connected to Messiah's commandments, which we now understand are God's commandments. But there's one more checker. And check this out. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. I've said all this thing about covenant connection and relationship and obedience and love from the Father is so that my joy will be in you. Did you know that as a follower of Messiah, you have more joy than those that don't know Messiah? In fact, earlier they said, without Yeshua, you can do nothing. So let me rephrase that. As followers of Yeshua, you know joy, whereas those who don't know Yeshua don't know joy. There is only joy in connection, in covenant relationship with the Jewish Messiah. There is no joy on one level. We might have happiness in life. We might have celebration in our life. We might have a sense of fulfillment in our life. But joy is, we're told in Galatians, is one of the fruit of God's identity. It's one of God's characteristics. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all aspects of God's identity, not to be found anywhere else outside of God. If you want to know joy, if you want to know love, you must know God. I've spoken these things so that my joy may remain in you. And then catch how Yeshua describes that. He says, and your joy will be full. My joy in you means that your joy will be full. Yeshua's joy, God's joy, isn't mediocre. It isn't half a cup. It's filled to the brim. It is, in one place in Scripture, overflowing. He fills my cup. My cup overflows, Psalm 23. Yeshua fills us full. Yeshua fills us full. There is no half joy with God. I find in my life that I need to grow in living that out. You know, someone once asked me, was actually at a conference, done by a kind of a was a Foster. What's his name? Not David Foster. That's the composer. The other Foster. Who wrote Celebration of Discipline. I was once in a seminar that he led. What? I don't know. I have like five of his books on my shelf. You'd think I'd remember. But the idea was presented, which one of God's characteristics as expressed in the fruit of the Spirit do you have the most struggle implementing in your life? Is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? And I had to say, you know, man, sometimes it's just joy. Sometimes, you know, I'm just crabby. Or at least internally, you know. I have to come back to Yeshua's promise. Yeshua doesn't give half joy. Yeshua makes our joy full. Your joy is his joy, and his joy doesn't lack. That is the final checker in our Connect Four. Jeff Feinberg, one of my friends and a former mentor, Messianic rabbi, says it this way regarding this passage. He says, obedience, it produces fruitfulness, and the result of fruitfulness is joy. We remain in Yeshua, and his commands live and abide within us so that we can't help but produce fruit. That's the definition of a disciple. But the result of that is Messiah's joy surging through our lives. I can't help but think that that joy will then in turn produce more life, more fruit, more productivity for the Most High. Because we are in that beautiful relationship, covenant relationship with the Most High. You're not in a contract with God. This relationship has obligations and stipulations. A covenant can potentially be broken. That's why God says he hates divorce. Yeshua is pushing us, stay in the relationship. Stay connected. Stay online with the Most High, with his words, with his joy, with his nutrients flowing through your life. That's what we need. May our lives reflect that as we look forward to the new year, 5776, that begins tomorrow night. May the year ahead reflect the beauty of being connected to the Most High.